Welcome to the Irish Country Living Podcast.
D.E.U. Fáilte go dí, the Irish Country Living Podcast. The submission of a Laura Hoare, on you gonna who. So it's beer left from here on in, folks, because it took me about a half an hour to cobble those two sentences together, and I'm actually not 100% sure that they're correct. But never fear. This Seacht na Gaeilge, I do have a guest who is a Gaeilgeor, Fran Sorland. Fran actually speaks three languages, Irish, English and German. He learned his Irish in school and his German from his father. His mother's Ghanaian. Philip Doyle, our photographer, and I recently met Friends in Dingle, where he's from nearby Ballyferriter. Friends is a Gaelic footballer. He plays for the An Gaeilge club. They play senior football. He's a Gaeilgeor, as I mentioned, and he's also a college student. He's studying Irish and geography in UCC. We talked all about Friends' love of football and Irish. We also talked about the strong sense of community in and around the Dingle area. Two, we got on to more serious topics, like the racial abuse Friends unfortunately had to experience while playing football. He posted about it on Instagram last summer during the Black Lives Matter movement. I won't ruin the rest of the interview and I'll let you hear it in Friends' words. But I will leave you with Loyal Apollo Conadiv. I'm sure Friends would say that much better. Enjoy the podcast.
Friends, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
All right, how are you? Not too bad.
How are you finding the lockdown and everything?
I'm kind of getting used to it at this stage, but I suppose everyone's kind of struggling at the beginning, but it's kind of almost normal at this stage, like, which is queer to say, but
yeah,
it's the world we live in.
Yeah, we're 12 months into now, you're kind of finding your way.
Yeah, I suppose it's hard not to find your way, really. Well, I suppose there's other people struggling a lot more than me, the older kind of generation, because they have to obviously cocoon or isolate, like, but I can actually kind of leave the house, go to work or whatever, but... Yeah, no, I'm getting through it, all right.
And where are you working at the moment, Friends?
I'm just working at the local supermarket there, Petri Station, just every weekend, because I'm in college during the week, but that's all online, so I'm at home, just helping around the house, I suppose. Full-time college, so I'm kept busy, really.
Yeah.
And then weekends working away.
And what are you studying?
I'm studying arts at UCC, so I'll be doing Irish and geography. I'm in my final year now. So
you're your final year?
Yeah,
fairly, oh, 3 years in UCC, isn't it? Oh, class.
So that's fairly full on though.
Did you get 1 year before the whole thing lockdown?
I got 2 years.
Brilliant. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Well, one and a half, I'd say.
Right. So, well, look, that's the best part of it anyway. Better to have the first half than the last half.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm only putting my head down this year anyway. So.
And have you found your projects and all to do? Or?
I've gotten used to it. No, but semester one now was a bit of a struggle, all right, but... Now semester two, I kind of know what to expect.
Yeah,
really.
But you're nearly there now at this stage.
That's true.
April,
yeah,
only time.
A few more months now and I'm done.
And
that's all. Yeah.
And you've any plan for after? Or?
I'm thinking of taking a year out of college because I have to do a master's obviously after arts. I'm going to take a year out. Myself and my girlfriend, we want to go travelling, but we're going to find it tough. But so
yeah,
we're trying to say we might just go to Australia or something to stay in one place.
Yeah.
And just travel there for I don't know how long. We'll see.
Good option though, you know.
Yeah.
Taking a year out is always a good thing because I found I was always putting travelling on the long finger and I'll go next year and this year and
now
none of us can go anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're living about 15 minutes away from here, friends.
15 minutes outside of England, just in Ballyferriter. Just a small little village.
Say it again, you say it properly.
Ballyanartairig.
Yeah. What is that? Tommy Tiernan used to say to people when he interviews Gaeilgeors, Fault Jug is Beerla. Mosh Gully. Talk Coop the Fuckle Gum.
Coop the Fuckle,
that's it. My mum's a teacher, she actually has lovely Irish.
Oh, yeah?
But me, no. I did Irish in first year of college and then I kind of fell off of it a small bit.
I suppose you're kind of forced to speak around here, like, it doesn't matter what, you know. Primary school all the way up, it's all through Irish.
You go to Gaelic schools?
Yeah, I'm sure there's no other school around here. It's all Gaelic school, like everything's taught through Irish except for English, obviously.
Yeah.
So we're kind of taught to speak that way.
and did you like, obviously you're completely fluent now, was it mostly through school and kind of I suppose you've been around here?
Yeah, it's from my parents are both foreign, my dad would be German, my mother's Ghanaian, so they have no Irish at all, but I was here, I've been here all my life, like, so I was there here in Nimra all the way up. It's all Irish.
Yeah.
So, it's my second language, English, I suppose. Almost my first language, I'd say.
Yeah. And you'd obviously like the Gaeilge.
Yeah.
So you're just studying in college and everything.
College, yeah. I love it. I want to go on to teach after this then. That's my plan.
To teach Irish and geography?
Yeah. Yeah, either that or primary school, but it would be true Irish, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you find Irish different in college? Is it more
literature? It's a lot different, yeah. It's not even literature. It's kind of... Sean Gaeilge, so like the old Irish, so like the old manuscripts and all that.
Yeah.
So it's very different, really. Yeah. But it's grand. I don't really like it too much, to be honest, but I prefer the newer Irish. I'm more used to it. And but I don't know, it's all right, I suppose you have to learn it. Like.
And you find people around here now with their Irish that they'd be kind of, it'd be more casual that they'd use bits of words of English and...
Yeah, I find that a lot, yeah, when you're speaking. If you're speaking to someone in Irish, there'd be a few English words thrown in, but that's normal, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, if you don't know a word in Irish, there's no point forcing to say it.
Yeah, it's like someone from Connemara said to me before, they'd never say Rother, like they'd just say Moisicle.
Yeah, Moisicle, yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Or something.
Yeah, yeah. Make it your own.
Yeah.
And did your parents meet your friends, or did they?
They know my father. So he was in Germany all his life, but he had business in Ghana, and that's where he met my mother. And I actually don't know how they decided to choose Ireland, but they came here anyway. A year before I was born, so I was born here. My brother was actually born in Ghana.
Was he?
Yeah.
So is it just one brother you have?
I have one brother and two younger sisters.
Yeah.
So they have, the oldest one of them is 12, the other one's 9, so they're only a bit younger, like, but yeah, my older brother, he's 2 years older than myself, so he got a year in Ghana and they came here, and been here ever since, I suppose.
And how did you find going to primary school around here?
I suppose, I don't know, I didn't know any different, but... I always knew that I missed the boat a bit because of my colour, but they made me feel very comfortable, I suppose, because, like, all the parents know they'd all be speaking Irish. My mother would be always getting texts from the teachers all through Irish. Oh. She'd be asking me to translate, even though I was only young, so I didn't know every... I couldn't
really help. So you, had to, get up, you had to get up scratch fairly quickly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, there was a bit of pressure on me, all right, to help her, but, yeah, no, it was... I suppose it was all right. It was... I found it a bit tougher in secondary school now because I made friends by secondary school, but it seemed as though primary school, the parents knew each other, so their children were going to be friends, but no one really knew my parents, so
yeah.
I found it a bit harder to make friends, but I got along, sure was fine, I suppose.
And when you got into secondary school then, was it a bit different?
It was a bit different, yeah, everyone kind of knew me. I kind of made a bit of a name for myself.
It was here in Dingle, you went to school.
Yeah,
here in Dingle. Homeschool
Crocodina.
Did I say that? I had that one off now.
You said it perfect, yeah. A great school. I almost say I miss it. Yeah, I've been gotten 3 years out of it there, so, but I great 6 years there, like, but I wouldn't change for the world, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you get into the football?
I started when I was 6 years old. It was just my friends had been playing, and they obviously said, I don't know, I suppose they say come along, and I asked my mother if I could go. I remember training used to be every Friday, 6 o'clock. I'd always look forward to it every week, and I suppose I just stuck with it because I'd say I was fairly good at it, like, so, and I really enjoyed playing it, so I just kind of stuck with it. I'm still going away.
You're still playing from Gaelic?
Yeah.
Playing senior football?
Senior football. It's my third year senior now, so,
Senior football in Kerry now is no joke. So it's no joke. Chief from senior football, every friends, I tell you that.
No, it's very strict around here. It's almost professional sport around here, really, like, but,
And if anyone was reading this piece now and they were from Kilkenny or Longford or somewhere that doesn't have... What's football like? How important is football around here in Kerry?
Say no, I'd say especially around England, there could be different towns around, let's say Tralee, no, there's so many clubs, so it's not as a close community as it is here. Mm. So, like, let's say even the local tradesmen, plumbers and stuff, they'd help you out because they know you play for the Gaelic, like, so... Once your name's kind of out there, you know, people are going to support you, they're going to be there. You know, if you need a hand with something, you wouldn't be shy asking them, because you know that they give you a hand with them and stuff like that. So that's a really good thing about football. It brings everyone together, like, and yeah, it's really close community around here, like I said, so everyone knows each other, everyone's going to help you, like.
And there's a bit of identity and community kind of going with it as well.
That's true, community identity, I suppose.
And were you obviously like interested in the sport from very young?
Yeah, well, I
did you play any other sports or anything growing up?
I never played. Well, I played soccer for a year, but I never really got into it. But I wouldn't say my interest was too much in football, like, because I wouldn't be keeping up with how Kerry are doing or anything. You know, I wouldn't be watching. I'd just play it.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a joke to my friends, like, you know, you're a good player. Like, why don't you watch the games and all that? I had no interest in that. You know, I had no interest in sitting down and watching the match. That was just me. I'd prefer to be outside and play with myself. But,
yeah.
But I suppose after 2014, I took more of an interest in it. And I actually played Kerry Minors there 2016-17. So I kind of had to. I remember I started working there and quit my job and focused on the football because we were training 3-4 days a week, a match at the weekend. So I had no time to do anything else, really.
Yeah.
I was lucky it was during the summer because I had no school or anything. I wasn't doing the leaving start. So I was kind of lucky in that sense that I was a bit younger than the people in my year. So I was kind of, I have more time really to be able to do it, because I know there's some people now they're doing the leaving cert and they have under 20s or minors and they're trying to find a balance, but no, I'm kind of lucky in that sense.
And you had good success in school with the football?
Very good success, yeah.
You captained the team to...
I captained the under 16 and a half team to the All-Ireland. We won a Munster that year as well. And then the following year, I was the captain again of the senior school team. We won the Carnivree. We lost by 2 points, I think. Or a bit more, maybe 3 points in the All-Ireland semi-final then. So we were a bit unlucky. And that was when I was in 6 years, so I was... It was my last year, but if I had repeated, I was younger again, so there was a few teachers asked me to stay back to play, but I said, no, I'll leave it on.
They were trying to rope you in for another year.
They were trying to rope me in, yeah. I remember getting a few phone calls of the teachers, but that's only the way it is, I suppose, around here. But they were successful that year as well, anyway, so they didn't need me there.
No, but they would have liked to have me there,
I suppose, yeah.
And unfortunately, friends, even though I suppose people have gone before you, I was thinking even of like Sean O'Gahalpin and Lee Chain have highlighted racial abuse in the GAA, but it's something that you still experienced, unfortunately.
Yeah, I spoke out about it, I suppose. I think it was last June. I threw a post up on Instagram about it because I saw other people doing it, so it kind of inspired me too. I said, I may as well tell my own story. I wouldn't say I experienced too much abuse, but it was fairly evident a few times, like even when I was younger, blitzes, like it would be not coming from the players, even just the parents.
The parents. That's mad. The parent party is mad. Like,
yeah, it was. I wouldn't even say it was ignorance. It was kind of jealousy, I suppose, because I'd be a bit better than their son or something like that. Yeah. You know,
they were playing so well and doing so well for yourself.
They'd be telling me to go play soccer, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And it may not sound racist, but you know, you can kind of see the way it is. They're not. I know they mightn't have any cruel intentions, like, but. I'll never forget it. Like.
Yeah, and you felt that it was.
I felt like, you know, that would force some people to give up the sport, yeah. Like almost, because they'd be listening to older people and say like, he knows better than I do, like.
And so. You wouldn't blame a young child for taking that on board, because
you wouldn't, because it's not their fault. Like, but besides that, I only had one experience. I'd say under 16, or something, played a club match with another player. That was the only time another player really. Racially abused me, like I suppose he was angry in the game. I wasn't even playing, actually. That's another thing. Yeah, I was only the water boy. I was running on to get
water.
Were
you injured or were you?
I was injured. Yeah, it was something wrong with my ankle. I couldn't play. And he kind of shouted over. He was giving people abuse all game though, hitting people and all that. And he told me to go back to my cotton fields that game, and that was really the main one. I'll never forget that day. Like, I remember just being depressed, going home. One of the umpires was actually, he was on their team, but he was injured as well. He messaged me that night, because he someone knew who I was, anyway. And he messaged me on Facebook saying that, look, he heard what your man said, and he went to the referee and reported him. Like, your man got banned then for a year, I think, from football. So they took action, like, and which is, it's grand. I was never going to tell the referee, because I just I didn't have that kind of confidence, like, you know. And it's kind of my word against his anyway, so it might be believable, like, so.
And were you, even though it was terrible, were you happy that that person had spoken out for you?
Yeah, I was very grateful for him. I said thanks and whatever I could do, I said thanks to him, because that was very good by him, like.
And would you have said it to your teammates have known about it, or your parents, or anything?
A few people heard it alright, but I never told my parents either. They only found out when I posted a thing last year, so yeah. I kept it fairly quiet to myself, which I wouldn't advise doing, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, I felt it was right anyway at the time, which I don't think it was, to be honest.
But it's hard to know what to do when you're...
Exactly,
at any time. I was going to say when you're younger, but to be honest, when things like that come at you at any age, it's hard to know what to do, you know?
Yeah, because it shouldn't be happening, like, so there's no way of preparing for it, like.
And would you, like, if someone else has experienced something like that, what would you advise them to do now, kind of looking back?
Speak out, like, even there I could have told the manager, like, he knows better than I do, he could have gone to the referee, or maybe even tell the referee himself. I wouldn't advise striking back or anything. Like,
yeah.
You know.
And yet that's obviously not in your personality or anything.
No,
I
wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that at all. And I know that my team has my back as well, like, so.
Yeah.
You know, if anything were to happen, they'd be there for me. But if that was to happen to anyone else, I'd advise going to a grown up, like, even if it's your parents, manager, referee, whatever it is. Go to whoever's kind of in charge, I suppose.
And what did your parents think when they found out when you posted your Instagram?
They were kind
post?
Of upset that I didn't tell them, but. They kind of understood it.
Anyway. Yeah, they know you and you.
Yeah, they just said sorry or whatever for going through that. They were grand. Yeah.
And did you ever experience anything outside of sport?
There'd be a few occasions alright inside the shop. I said I was working in the local supermarket there. I remember it was last year, May, I suppose. We were kind of deep enough into the coronavirus. But it was kind of where no one was really sure what was going on. It was happening a few times now. People kind of asked me, like, where are you from? Do you know, they'd be curious. My name's German, like, Frans Orland. I'm black, like, and I'm living in Ireland. So, fair enough, people are curious. And I kind of, they were like, where are you from? And I was like, I kind of live here all my life. My parents are from so-and-so. And they were like, were you born here? I was like, yeah, I was born in Tralee. And then, you know, they kind of think I messed around or whatever. Which, all right, fair enough. But it's kind of, that's kind of ignorance. Like, then there was this one woman, she came in and she was like, how is the coronavirus in your country? And I was like, sure, this is my country.
The same as your country.
Yeah. And then she was like, but no, like, I mean, your home country. Like, I was like, sure, I was born here. Like, I was only born in Tralee. And she was like, she wouldn't let it go, basically. And she just kept asking me. You know, that's basically how it ended. But I was being kind of cheeky to her, to be fair. But
you weren't really though. Yeah, you know,
I was only trying to be honest. You know, I was only trying to be honest. But I knew what she was looking for.
Yeah,
you get me. I knew she was obviously kind of asking about Ghana, I suppose. If anything, because if Ghana be black, so I'd be black as well. So, well, that's what she was kind of looking for. But anyway, that's kind of the stories from the shop, really.
And was there anything in particular that prompted you to post the Instagram post?
I
was
saw,
it around the time of the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, there was two people I followed. They'd be from Tralee, two other black people. I know one of them, Stefano Cumber. He's gone over to the AFL. He posted kind of the same thing. He was talking to some newspaper. I saw a post about him on Facebook and stuff. And then some other fella from Tralee posted the same kind of thing as me. So I said, why not? Like, I might as well do the same thing, since it's kind of from growing attraction and BLM. You know, it's kind of, it might change a few people's minds, turn a few heads like so. That's what kind of inspired me to do it.
And did you get good support locally when you posted?
I got so much support, yeah. It was actually insane. I was getting so many texts, calls, all sorts of things from all sorts of local people.
Because it can be a hard thing to do, to share all that, like, especially when you hadn't even told your parents or anything, do you know?
I was shaking. I didn't know how people would respond to it, but no, it was a very good response around here. You know, you couldn't really give someone any stick around here, really, because everyone would find out. So,
yeah.
It was good. It was good. We have a good support system around here, really.
And were you nervous when you were posting it?
Very nervous, yeah, very nervous. I didn't know how people respond. I remember I was even just kind of talked to my girlfriend and being really kind of nervous, like, and she was being really supportive. So it was very good.
But it's good when you have supportive people around you.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you think it's important that people realise that, were you doing it for the fact to show people that racism does exist in Ireland?
That's basically
that we can't
it, yeah.
just kind of pretend
that
we're...
You can't just brush it over and say it's only happening in America, like, that we're funny here. Like, you know what happens here? Even if it's not as evident, it could just be ignorant... racism, or like there's vocal, there isn't as much physical, I suppose, but still, it's all racism at the end of the day. Like, so it's important to get the message out there, I'd say.
Yeah, and that we can't, we can't just be like, oh, America are terrible, kind of, and using that, to kind of excuse ourselves.
Yeah. Even if it is much worse over there, and there are a lot bigger countries, there's more people there, so there's going to be different opinions, than here. So,
and in terms of the Irish friends, I'm very interested, as a young person now growing up in the Gaeltacht, do you think there's a future for Irish?
I definitely think so. I'm not sure will it spread it to the rest of the country, but I'd say the Gaeltacht to kind of stay strong, if that makes sense. People still coming here for Irish college and stuff during the summer, so that'll keep it going. Like, And I'd say that's about it. And teaching in schools is very important. I see...
Did you have good teachers now when you were younger?
Very good teachers, yeah. Most of them would be from around here, so they all grew up with Irish, so they all have very good Irish, like, you know, so they'd be very passionate about the Irish, so they'd really put pressure on you to speak, and at schools and all that, you'd be getting, what today used to be, yellow cards and stuff if you weren't speaking Irish, you know, so you'd get
in my school, you have to kick a ladder on now to get a yellow card.
Oh, yeah. I have a few friends from a few other places around the country, and they wouldn't be from a Gaeltacht, and they'd have Irish just as one subject, and they'd all be doing pass or foundation or whatever, which is fine, but you know, they said that there'd be no pressure on them to speak it, which is, that obviously is kind of, there wouldn't be, that's why I'm saying, like, it wouldn't spread to places outside of the Gaeltacht, because there's less pressure on them to speak in that.
But here, like, it's quite strong, and people
speak
it.
Yeah, even in the shops and stuff.
When you meet each other in the shop now, do you...
Like if it was me and my friends, I suppose we probably wouldn't. But
yeah,
like if some old fella came in or something, you know, you'd speak Irish to him and you'd be delighted to hear you speaking.
Yes, yeah.
So that kind of brings a bit of joy. Or even in the pubs, most of the bartenders would be speaking Irish to you, like, and you speak Irish back to them, and you know they'd have more respect for you in a sense. Like, you know, you might get an odd free point or something there.
It's hard.
Like, yeah, that's the way I suppose.
So there is, yeah, so it's great that it's still quite strong around here, you know.
Yeah.
And I really know lots of people from my area, like who would be fluent in Irish, if they were whatever, teachers or whatever. They'd love to come back to Dingle now during the summer and to be kind of listening to. And it's funny, like, when I listen to fluent speakers now, I can hardly understand what they're saying.
Really?
Yeah, because I can understand Irish enough, but there's just such, you know, such fluency and such kind of.
Yeah, there's a different kind of tone to their voice and stuff. But like now, if I was listening to some kind of Connemara, I wouldn't be able to understand them at all. Or Donegal Irish.
Or when the Donegal Irish comes on the tape. Put the tape on it, put the head down.
Yeah, the listening exam was always the worst. It'll always be either Connemara or the Donegal accent. And I would not understand a word. Like.
Yeah, no, I when the Donegal come on the tape, you just put your head down and kind of, you know, wait until it all passed over.
Exactly, yeah.
And you did your leaving cert in Irish, did you?
Yeah, all through Irish. So there's extra marks, go for it. So it was kind of no-brainer. Like.
You get 10% on top of it.
Yeah. So it was very handy, and it was very handy for us. You know, we could have had an advantage in a sense, because we were all going to do well in the Irish subject itself, and then get an extra 10% in every other subject. So,
yeah,
it was very handy for us, really.
And I suppose because you've been doing it kind of throughout school anyway, you know.
Yeah, all my books be through Irish, everything. So.
And is Dingle a nice place to grow up as a young person? I know you're not like the area, kind of the peninsula. Yeah. I know you're outside the town.
It's definitely a nice place to grow up because, like I say, the community. Insane because there's so few people living here, like, so you'd hear every single story that goes around, like, even if it's only a rumor, you'd hear it.
Like, it's like that in every rural place,
exactly. Yeah, I know, it's lovely. And then during the summer, so many people, seeing loads of people around kept busy, so there's loads of businesses, you know, and they're doing well, all of be doing well, even just the holiday homes or the small coffee shops, everything. And it's kind of growing as well in the last few years, so. It's a lovely place for any child to grow up, really.
Yeah, and it's a big town, like, isn't it?
It's a big town, yeah, and it's not really the city vibe, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're kind of, there's less rules, let's say.
Yeah.
There's more freedom.
Yeah, and it's the biggest town for ages. You know what I mean? So it kind of probably takes in such like the school you were saying, like, takes in such a big area.
Yeah, it's everyone. It starts as far as Enniscall. Some people go, they have kind of decision to make between Tralee or here, like, or even Cass Gregory, some of them, I suppose, would go. But, like, if they want to speak Irish, they come here. If they don't, they go to Tralee or Castle. So, there's kind of a big circumference, I'd say, for the people who go to the school around here. And there's plenty of primary schools. I'd say a few of them will have to shut down in a few years' time with such little children around. But,
Was your primary school? Your primary school is out by Andrea stuff, was it?
Yeah, I think there's 5 back west alone. Like, so there, like, some schools now. My sister is in my old primary school, and I'd say there's only about 30 or 40 students there, like, from Niamh Yoga to Rongashay. So I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
And how are your sisters getting on with the Irish and everything?
Very good. One of them is just after going into first year, so she's kind of unlucky, really, because it's kind of online.
It's very hard when you're starting anything new, whether you're starting college or starting secondary school.
I say I feel bad for the first year going into college, though, because it's a completely different experience to school, and they would know what's going on, I'd say. They're all at home, online, so it's, I don't know, they're not getting the full experience anyway.
And did you like it when you went off to UCC?
I loved it, yeah.
Did you play any football or anything down there?
I played freshers, alright, but I didn't bother going on to Sigerson or anything. I left that off, really.
Enough to be doing in college now without football.
Nightlife is excellent.
Trying to keep the books and the nightlife going and everything. But if you can get the two of them going in college, you're on a winner straight away.
There's a good balance there, alright.
And did your brother play football? I meant to ask your friends. Or your sisters?
My sisters, they don't play any football. My brother, though, he's a very good footballer. He was with the Kerry under 20s there about 2 years ago. He got 1 year with them,
There's no joke being on any kind of a Kerry panel.
No, it's a big deal.
I used to work, because I live in West Limerick, I used to work out just in North Kerry. I was on the border with West Limerick, North Kerry, in Tarbert, almost in Tarbert. And I worked with a few boys from Tarbert, and they're football mad. And one of them was on a minor panel at one stage, and he was sleeping with the football inside the bed and everything.
Yeah.
I was like,
no, you have to live and breathe football around here, really, if you want to get by.
Yeah, because I remember him telling me, like, the selectors were like, sleep with the football, and be like, keep it in your hands as much as possible.
Just cuddle it, like.
But your brother's a good footballer as well.
Yeah, it's good to look up to him. You know, having someone ahead of you, it's always handy to have.
What's his name?
Peter Paul. He's riddled with injuries, though, so he's very unlucky. Like,
Yeah, when you pick up injuries, it's hard.
He got a bad wrist injury there, and he had to get an operation. They could have messed up the operation, so he was out for longer than he should have been. Like, yeah. He was out for over a year. So.
And it's hard to come back then, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, very hard to get back into it.
And you both play on Gaeltacht?
Yeah, we're both in the senior team. Yeah.
And you still play? Do you play with club lads? Did you get any club last year?
We got the championship, yeah. Alright.
Squished it in there somewhere.
Yeah, it had just a few weeks and it was kind of over. And we got the district championship as well, so we got a good bit in, really. It was during the summer, so it was good weather, so it was...
Yeah, you can...
Happy days.
Yeah, and you obviously like playing with the club and the kind of the vibe,
yeah,
down
good,
there.
Yeah, good atmosphere there, good... Good, very good atmosphere. Good fans as well. Do you know, they'd really roll you on that.
Yeah, it's mad the way in clubs, the way people like really would be like following the club and,
yeah,
supporting the club.
Yeah, they go
even
anywhere,
like my own dad. I don't think my dad ever played football, but he'd be at every match
every
league match and tearing around the place.
Couldn't miss it. Like.
Yeah, it's social though for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. Even just some fans would be helping make sandwiches and stuff after the game. Even they help with the team lottery or anything, like, you know. So they're all getting handled. They all love it, you know. They all love it.
And last question: what's the first thing now you're going to do? Where's the first place you're going to go when locked up? When this all ends?
When lockdown ends.
Yeah.
Like I said, I wanted to go travelling, so just.
Yeah.
Australia, I suppose. That's my main idea.
Set the heights, Australia.
I won't go straight away, but I'll get a few nights out here. Right away.
That nightlife is good and dingle anyway. Friends, thank you very much.
The Irish Country Living Podcast.